Most people aren't born with all the right answers, nor come from a life of privilege. So I'll get right to the point. I have great news to share with anyone out there with dreams, desires, and ambition. In order to live a meaningful and successful life, you don't need privilege or even world-class talent. You simply need to start your journey to success right here, right from where you are, anytime or anywhere. But you do have to start, and the sooner the better. Looking back, I believe I turned my first corner and started my journey upon graduating from high school. I remember hearing the definition of commencement for the very first time at that graduation. They said, "This isn't the end, this is the beginning." Now I thought, you've got to be kidding me. I was looking forward to the freedom I had been looking forward to and what I thought graduation promised. But I had a big problem, and I didn't even know it. Like so many people, I was convinced I was ready to be free, but I wasn't prepared. When I started my adult life, I had little knowledge or understanding of how the world truly worked or how to live an honorable or successful life. I suspect I'm not alone in that. In retrospect, the only successful thing I accomplished during a difficult childhood was that I was creative enough to survive it. In many ways, I was blessed. I suspect all of us are blessed in some ways, and I, unfortunately, failed to recognize it. I was far more focused on what I didn't have than what I did have. Now, I was athletic. I tested well in intelligence, but my accomplishments weren't all that impressive. I skated through all my classes with C+, B average work. I never applied myself. I was mostly interested in music, sports, girls, and partying, and not always in that order. Now, I was aware of successful and wealthy people in my hometown, but my family and I were not like them, not at all. We didn't have what they had, and we didn't do what they did. I felt like an outsider. I envied them, of course, but I believed I would never be a part of their country clubs, so I didn't even bother to try. Like many, we were a broken family. A hybrid family would be a good way to describe it. We enjoyed a lower middle class lifestyle as best we could. Now, our limited resources melted quickly behind poor choices and non-existent financial discipline. I remember learning that a person could write a check to buy what they wanted on a Wednesday, even if they didn't have the money in their account to cover it, as long as you deposited your paycheck right away on Friday to cover it. My financial role model would deposit her paycheck on her Friday lunch hour. Back then, it took banks 3 days to communicate, transfer, and verify funds. Floating a check is the term they used at the time. So I learned how to chase instant gratification before the phrase became popular. With skills and knowledge like that, what could possibly go wrong, right? Now, more seriously, at that time, alcoholism and addiction were unacknowledged issues in our family. Physical and emotional abuse quietly remained hidden behind closed doors. The life that surrounded me seemed the only normal one. I felt trapped. I also didn't have any positive role models close to me that I felt could be trusted. I was skeptical of just about everyone, and as a result, I wasn't teachable. Instead, I trusted only myself, which left me to figure everything out on my own. So let me repeat that. I entered my adult life poorly prepared to be successful, and I wasn't teachable. Now that is a recipe for trouble. I don't share this to complain, whine about it, cry woe is me, and it's not to impress you because it's not impressive at all. The reason I recount the failures of my childhood and the tragic, painful experience here is to impress upon you the fact that a person's painful past doesn't need to be their future. There really is no benefit in complaining either. I remember hearing the following advice 35 years ago. Mark, never complain about what is going on in your life. The majority of the people don't care, and some people are actually glad to hear it. I want to emphasize what I believe to be true today. The truth is that no matter where we come from or whatever has happened to us in the past, we have the ability and opportunity to shape our future. Yes, we can. We can if we get unstuck. But I didn't know that then, and I struggled along for a few years living what Henry David Thoreau described as men leading lives of quiet desperation. I was one of those, except I wasn't always necessarily quiet. However, the seeds of change already existed deep within me, and my dissatisfaction only grew over time. Those feelings often erupted in unhealthy ways, fed and watered with frustration, failure, struggle, and despair. I wanted something more. I wanted something better. I just didn't know how to make it happen, at least not legally, and I certainly didn't want to be recognized as a criminal. Now, I could see other people were succeeding, but I didn't believe it was possible for me. I had drive, but I was headed in the wrong direction. What I didn't know at the time is that I was operating on bad information, like following a bad roadmap. Slowly, however, little bits of information began to trickle through. We all have memorable moments looking back over our lives. One was a conversation I had with my mother in my early 20s. She acknowledged her regrets for what she felt were failures on her part during my childhood. She expressed her sorrow, issued an apology, and tried to make amends. I still remember that conversation like it was yesterday. She said something along the lines of this: "Mark, I'm sorry for the times I failed and missed the mark while you were growing up. I did the best I could at the time, but looking back, I can see it wasn't good enough. Knowing what I know now, if I could go back and change it, I would. But Mark, I can't go back and change it. You are an adult now. You are responsible, and only you can make your life work going forward." It was true. Now, I'll pause here briefly to say this is not my confession time. I hope you don't find these revelations in bad taste. Instead, I offer this as a message of hope to anyone who is or who has been frustrated, dissatisfied, and wants more. So let's talk now about how it all turned around. I got married at the age of 20, started a family, and began my quest to live a good life. With all that baggage I was carrying, I'm certain you can foresee that there would be a rough journey ahead for me and that young family. But my failure wouldn't be for lack of trying. Without any previous interest or skill in sales, strangely enough, I decided to try and sell real estate. At the urging of my new family, I obtained my real estate license and proceeded to chase what I believed was my only possible path to the American dream. I saw real promise in the real estate industry tycoons. They wore suits, joined country clubs, wore gold watches, and they drove Cadillacs. I'm reminded of the iceberg metaphor. We only see about 10% of the iceberg above the surface, while 90% remains below water. That is how I saw everything. I saw the trappings of success, the surface, while remaining completely oblivious to the work and preparation that was required to make it all happen. So my journey continued. For 2 to 3 years, I struggled along the way so many new real estate agents do, working hard, learning a little as I went. It was in those first couple of years that I was introduced to motivational speakers in the personal development industry. I say introduced because while I was exposed to the ideas, I still didn't believe I could pull it off. These ideas were good for other people, but not for people like me. So I continued my work and made very little progress. Then, of course, as the real estate market always does, we entered into an expansion cycle in the late 1980s. For 2 years, I made more money than I had ever made before. I was so proud of myself. My dream had finally come true. I began to think that I had arrived. But unfortunately, I spent all that I made and a little bit more, consistent with my childhood training and role models. So now I had a new problem, unpaid taxes. And to make matters worse, the market reversed. That financial and personal reversal was very, very painful. That family, our home, and my self-esteem didn't survive it. However, a miracle happened because of that failure. Along with some other life changes that I desperately needed to make, I suddenly became teachable. Out of necessity, I rejected many of the foolish choices I had been making and opened the door to new ideas, and I began to actively pursue them with the help from others. Now, surrender is not something most people are keen on doing. In fact, I think we only do it out of necessity. My worldview and philosophy of life wasn't working very well, so I did my best to exchange everything I thought I knew and began to seek information from people who were getting results better than what I was getting. I have a different definition of surrender now than the one that comes to mind for most people. For me, surrender is not failure. It is joining the winning side. Now, I joined the side of people who were successful, those who handled their finances better, those who improved their skills, those who were accountable, those that took responsibility and didn't blame others, the side where people did what they said they were going to do. So back to work, I went with this new attitude. In fact, I reset my entire life with a dose of humility and memory of the recent painful experiences I did not want to repeat. At the same time, I went to work for a real estate company that was owned by one of those larger-than-life leaders. In our marketplace, he was like the Tiger Woods of real estate, a Kobe Bryant-type competitor, a real warrior. He intimidated his competition, and no one outworked him. He was accomplishing 5, 10, 15 times more than anyone else in our marketplace, and he was still growing. I worked in his company for about a year. I worked, and I watched, and I learned. I was exposed in real time, in real life, to the principles that personal development coaches talk about. In addition to his personal motivational style, he brought in speakers and exposed me to incredible books and audio tapes. Now, it is important to recognize I still had the same drive and was still working, just like I had worked before. But now I had become teachable and was approaching things differently and applied things as I learned them. At the end of that first year, Tim hired me to work directly with him. I will never forget my year-end annual review, which occurred right before I joined his team. I think I had earned about $18,000 on 11 closed sales in 1992. When he asked me what my goal was for the next year, his chin almost hit his desk when I blurted out $100,000. His follow-up question was, "Now, how do you plan to do that?" Well, I answered, "I am going to be so valuable to the marketplace that I will be able to find people willing to pay me to work for them. I am going to know the inventory as well or better than anyone else. I will know the market statistics, understand the trends, tell the truth, and I'm going to talk to everyone I can every day. Then I'll make myself available for those that need and want my help. I believe I can find enough people who would want what I am willing to offer them in order to earn $100,000 next year." I had adopted that philosophy from Jim Rohn. In order to earn more money, Jim said, I only had to become more valuable to the marketplace. I didn't need to wait for the market to change or interest rates to change. I didn't need a Republican or a Democrat in the White House. I could change. And as you can see, I already had. Tim Wood's hiring of me proved to be another transformational turning point in my life. I will never forget or fail to acknowledge the $1 million education I received working with him. Over time, he brought me into his circle. But it is important for me to point out that Tim would not have hired me if I hadn't changed, if I hadn't become teachable. Now, this was long before real estate teams or groups was really a thing in real estate. Tim's idea was that combining my work ethic, my motivation, and his goals, his mentorship, and the client base he couldn't possibly serve in the 80 hours a week he was already working, we would both benefit. And that proved to be true. 1993 was the worst year in over 20 years in the Big Bear Valley. However, Tim and I both set new personal records for income. And Tim's company, with only 25 salespeople, was the number one producing company in the marketplace for the first time ever. Over the next 7 years working with Tim and beyond for the next 20 years, including the 15 years I owned and managed my own office and escrow company, I learned and embraced the very best success principles from world-class coaches, best-selling authors, incredible clients, and amazing business partners. Time-tested mastery is my way of giving back the best of what I have learned over the past 40 years. And what I am continuing to learn. I hope I'm not done yet. Many who listen to this podcast, read our blog, or follow us on social media will recognize bits and pieces of human and sales psychology, scientific research, including brain chemistry. They'll hear scriptural references, 12-step recovery principles, sales skills, human behavior, etc. But all of them are time-tested principles. If you master them, you will turn your life around and catapult into a growth cycle that you will continue to expand. Time-tested mastery is for people who are hungry to live a good life, for those that recognize they don't have all the answers, who are willing to become the best version of themselves, who have a good balance of confidence and humility, that are teachable, who are not followers, but are instead committed to being students. For those interested in personal coaching, let me share this. I value personal coaching for anyone serious about making the most progress possible in the time invested. Yes, it is always a greater financial investment of time and money. A lot of information today is free. Depending on your goals, some people can get by with doing their own research. The next level up, if you want to achieve more, is to invest in training. Usually, training classes or programs are less expensive and have less of a time commitment than a personal coach. The main difference between a coach and a trainer, in my view, is that a trainer presents his or her material and asks you or expects you to adopt or adapt their material into your business or life. A masterful coach, on the other hand, is focused primarily on you. They evaluate where you are today, understand exactly where you want to go, and are wise enough and experienced enough to map out a successful series of steps to move you along the path. A great coach is more versatile than a trainer and must have a wide variety of tools combined with the wisdom to present the right information in the right way and at the right time. Entry-level coaches, think youth or high school sports, teach teamwork, skills, and how to behave. Next-level coaches, think college, teach advanced skills and invest a considerable amount of time in motivating others. Now, professional-level, top-tier coaches focus primarily on accountability and refining skills. Now, if you listen to all of this, I thank you for sticking with it until the end. It means a lot to me. My hope is that you have found something valuable here or you know somebody who it might help. If so, please pass it along. I'd be happy to respond to any questions or comments you or any of your friends have through my social media accounts or at timetestedmastery.com. If there is something I can do to be of help to you or someone you know, please reach out to me for more information.